A big happy Monday to you, family, and welcome to WWT Live, the Monday edition. And I just want to remind you, in this really crazy, wacky world where the cameras are always on, you got to be more careful. We'll tell you exactly what that means. On the other side, this is WWT Live.
Howdy, folks. This is Willow Nightingale, and you are watching Women's Wrestling Talk.
I would love to wrestle with somebody.
10, 9, 8. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Nobody ever says TGIM, so I'll be the first. TGIM, thank God it's Monday. Doesn't kind of have the same ring as Friday does. Anyway, it's good to be back with you guys for another edition of WWT Live as part of Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet. I am Gerard Bond. You can call me the Professor, Teflon G, GB, whatever it is you feel like calling me in these streets. Just don't use any of the names that Pat McAfee might use, and I'd be okay. Fair enough. It's going to be that kind of show today. Trust me, there's plenty to talk about. And yes, we're talking about that. But I am not alone. Oh, no, I am not alone. He is back, ladies and gentlemen. He had quite the work weekend. He might tell us about it. He might not. But I'm just glad that he's with us. Jason from That Wrestling Podcast is hanging out with us. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. 15 hours of sleep after a 31-hour work weekend. I'm good to go. I'm ready to talk about wrestling.
Yeah, I would imagine so. You certainly earned it. You've absolutely earned it. I'd ask how your weekend was, but you made that very clear. It was all about work. So hopefully they're paying you nicely for all that work you gave to them.
Sanitation company takes care of me. I'm appreciative. Thank you. If just in case they're watching.
Very good. Very good. And I'm not sure who we're getting today, because after Friday, the streets are talking. So I'll just close my eyes, bury my head, and wonder who we're going to get. They call her Wrestling with Honey. I don't know who she'll be today, but here she is. Honey's back. Okay, there she is. All right. All right.
MVP.
How are you?
MVP. MVP.
Literally. No, MVP. MVP. You got to do the whole dance with it.
C-H-O.
You got to. Oh, my gosh. How are you?
I'm great. I'm phenomenal. Had a great weekend, you know, just ready for Monday to start talking about some wrestling again and back to my normal self. Until next time.
Well,
but that was
you were quite entertaining. Excellent. You were quite entertaining. And I'm excited. I fear I may be on delay. And so I hope that's not the case, but we'll find out in just a second. The mayor is with us. And I'm not sure what he's going to do either, as many thought he was cosplaying for a character from the Power series. But he is back today. Sed is in the building. How are you, kind sir?
I am solid. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy Battleground Week. We have a lot to discuss.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We have plenty to discuss, from Battle Riot to Battleground. Yes.
I'm assuming the mayor's out the law offices today.
Yes. Yeah. We regular old civil duties this week.
Excellent.
But after the TikTok that I recently saw, it seems like your worlds might be colliding, sir.
Yeah. Yes. That is an accurate statement.
Who sounds so thrilled?
All right. Well, we have plenty to get into today. Of course, a lot is going on. But first, man, there's a whole lot to talk about in this chat space. Cousin Ron is here. Good to see you. Dylan is here. And again, it is Tuesday where you are. You're always ahead of us, and we appreciate you. Eric is with us. Happy Monday. And indeed, happy birthday to both Jade Cargill and Red Velvet. Shout out to Matt, always joining us. And yes, the chance of HCO or CHO, depending upon how we look at it. Let's see. Special Little Nobodies is here with us. Let's see. Boza says it would have been funny to see Professor hit the floor if Honey had a new look. You know, I'm not sure what she was going to do today. And yeah, it was right. Cousin Ryan said the mayor is on his Better Call Saul. That's hilarious. All right. So let's get into this opening story, which has literally been the talk of the entire sports world, not just the wrestling world, but Pat McAfee is in the news. So there's been a lot of conversation today around the WNBA, particularly some of the things that happened with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark over the weekend. There's a huge clip floating around about Stephen A. Smith and Monica McNutt, where Monica kind of read him and Shannon Sharp, and it was pretty impressive. Meanwhile, on another ESPN show, Pat McAfee, who wanted to weigh in on what was going on with Caitlin Clark, and certainly if you've watched Pat McAfee on Monday Night Raw, you know he's a one-take kind of guy. He does not have much of a filter and says whatever comes to top of brain. And he proceeded to use a name for Caitlin Clark that I will not repeat. But needless to say, it was not good. It got him into a lot of trouble with ESPN. And he had apologized today. But now my question to you guys is, do you think this will in any way impact his standing with the WWE? Of course, he's scheduled to be on Monday Night Raw tonight. Does the WWE continue as planned, or do they make a pivot and go another route? Let's start with you on this one. What were your thoughts when you heard this comment? And what do you think the WWE should or will do in this case?
Well, what's interesting is I was off work today after the weekend that, you know, we briefly touched on earlier. So I watched some of what used to be called First Take. Now it's called Worst Take, because all they do is just yell at each other. Yeah, you got Shannon, you got Stephen A, Monica, and poor Molly has to moderate this stuff. Come on. It's absurd. Shout out to Molly. And then with the McAfee stuff, oddly enough, I had that on too. And when he said it, I was like, whoa, probably shouldn't have said that. So look, what's going on, if you're not familiar, at the game over the weekend, it was actually Kennedy Carter that basically
I'm sorry, you're right. Up, Kennedy
Carter. Basically roughed up Caitlin Clark. It was a non-basketball play. And a lot of people are saying that that was her welcome to the W moment, where she's the rookie. She's got a lot of fanfare. And it was time for somebody to give her a stiff shot and see how she responds. So McAfee referred her as a B word, but in his apology, he didn't mean it that way. He meant it as like how I have a feeling he meant it like how Jade would always say she's that B when she was the TBS champ, or was that B show. But it's just not right when you got a guy like McAfee who basically plays by his own rules and nothing ever happens to him on ESPN. You know, he swears on regular TV, and I know he has a YouTube component to his show that he worked into his deal, but, you know, he's one of these guys that's like to like say that, you know, a suit isn't going to tell me how to do my job. Well, I'm hoping a suit tells him, cool it or get the F out. And I'm a guy that's from Pittsburgh. I was a big McAfee supporter the last time he was here when he was on SmackDown. But I feel like now in this return, all he has done is said stuff to hear himself talk on Mondays. He says stuff that doesn't make no sense. It doesn't add anything to the commentary. And now with WWE in this new era where they're leaning a little more PG-13 than PG, I don't think anything's going to happen tonight. And that sucks.
Sed, your thoughts on this one?
While it is very controversial, I don't think these worlds will blend whatsoever. Was Pat out of line? Absolutely. Because I can guarantee you there's not any other sports analysts especially sports analysts of color that would get away with that without any type of reprimanding. However, with Pat, if you follow Pat McAfee's show, he makes a boatload of money from ESPN just to pull his show over from his previously just doing it on his own at ESPN. And he's been at odds with ESPN execs before, just most notably within the past 6 months to last year, where he was kind of seeing if they would pull the trigger. So this might be inklings of him trying to get out of his ESPN deal. I think he's said controversial things in the past to try to do that. And I don't know what that means for him. I think he's seeing how far he can go, which in this country, we know people in his stature will be able to kind of tote that line very closely. So I don't think it will affect him on WWE. I don't think they'll reference it at all. But it's worth noting how ESPN and Disney continues to handle that going forward, because I think that is one of their most high-paid shows on the network.
I'm very curious, honey, when you heard about this, what your thoughts were.
What's crazy is that I've been a fan of and an avid watcher of the Pat McAfee show for quite some time since he started, since they put him on ESPN. I dug his style. I didn't see today's episode. There was the one time today where I'm not in the house and I don't hear or see it. And I'm kind of glad I didn't. It's quite disappointing, especially with me being as a fan, and I really like this guy. Half the time he's shot, and like Jason said, he is saying whatever that comes out of his mouth, and somebody does need to tell him to cool it. I do have a bone to pick with him in this case, because this isn't one of those cases where it's, you know, what you say and how you, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. It's both in this case, you know, and considerably, you know, considering the fact that Caitlin Clark just, you know, just got drafted to Fever, and she's, you know, she just had her first win. And WNBA doesn't even get that much notoriety for as long as it's been around anyway. So it's like, why are you going to give that kind of notoriety and bring that kind of energy towards it? You know, and I understand in a certain context, but either way, no matter what, it's still not right to say. And don't call nobody what you wouldn't want anybody calling your mother, your sister, your daughter. And he has a daughter. So I really think that, you know, Pat McAfee's just shot and he, you know, he apologized. He claims he also sent an apology personally to Caitlin as well, because I'm sure he knows what the repercussions would have been, and he would have been instantly a goner in this case, I think. But I don't think anything is going to happen to him, though. I think something possibly should be done just to let him know that there's no games with this. You know, you have a locker room full of women in the WWE. You know, what if you reference what referencing them is going to be okay that way too? Like, and this isn't even just the color, just the color issue. To, you know, black, white, Hispanic, doesn't matter. Don't say it. Just don't say it. You know, and that's just where I stand on it.
Jason, you had some thoughts.
Yeah, you know what's crazy too is she plays in Indiana, which is where his show is. She's a regular contributor and is on his show regularly, maybe even weekly. Yeah. So, like, to do this, and I don't know, man. You know, like Cunny said, there's a locker room full of women there. I don't know how that's going to go over today, but you know, he did apologize. Period. He apologized to her. I don't know what is going to happen, but this guy it's that like Barstool mentality, Barstool Sports mentality. It's like that frat boy sports reporting. And I personally am not a fan of it, not just because of this. I'm just not a fan of it. And, you know, like I said, I was a Pat guy for a while, not so much anymore. And just, you know, dig a little deeper, dig that ditch a little deeper, and sooner or later, he's going to end up in it.
Yeah, let's look at some of these comments. Let's see. Boza says Caitlin Clark has brought a lot of eyes to the WNBA. Pat doesn't sugarcoat on his show. If they have to bring in Corey tonight, you know there is an issue. I'm glad I didn't hear it. Okay. Cousin Ron says they've been giving her the business since day one. And then I think, yeah, let's see. Let's see. They should give her the business. It's pro sports. Special little nobody says nothing should happen to him. We don't need to be this soft. Stop it already.
I don't know how I feel about that comment, but I'm
well, I know how I feel about that comment, so I'm going to speak to that.
I mean, well, I agree with the WWE side of things that nothing should happen. If it happens in this, the network it happened on, yeah, but this doesn't blur the lines of WWE at all.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where I guess I'm somewhat on the fence here. Number one, I think WWE, certainly in light of all that's been happening with Vince McMahon, has been very, very image conscious. They really, in their attempts to rebuild what this brand is doing, are trying to do their best to stay away from unnecessary controversy. When you have a guy who has a prominent role on your show, a show that has really done a great job of promoting women, if you have him, if this happened, say, a week ago and there's some distance in between it, so be it. Same day could probably give the WWE more backlash than they need to deal with, especially now. And I think, again, they're not fully out of the Vince woods with the Vince case now going to the feds and all the things that are happening there. But in regards to a comment like, you know, we don't need to be this soft, I want to phrase this very, very carefully.
I don't like
No, quite frankly, I don't like the comment. And I'll tell you why. I think I think that at times okay, let me first start by saying this. And I don't want to blur, I'm going to merge a lot of lines here. I'm really trying to be, I'll just say that I think at the end of the day, we have to care about human beings. And while sports is absolutely allowed to be competitive, it's one of the reasons why when we started off our show Friday, which, by the way, if you missed Friday's show, you missed an absolute gem. You should, when we're done, go back and watch Friday's show where we rank the four horsewomen. But even as we started that, I gave a disclaimer, and the disclaimer was that in light of whatever we're about to say, I want to be very clear that we are avid supporters of women. We are avid supporters of women's wrestling. We are avid supporters of what these four women have done and have accomplished. What we were simply doing was ranking their accomplishments against each other. With that said, I think it is important that we respect humanity across all sports. And I think it is interesting that this comment happens and Pat McAfee says what he says during a month like Pride Month, where I think a lot of people's sensitivity and sensibility is often very challenged. And so I'm going to say that it is not soft to consider a person's humanity. I don't think it's ever appropriate to call a woman that word. And to add a color to it doesn't make it any better. If you remember, mm-hmm. It was a couple of weeks ago, people were up in arms about Tiffany Stratton reposting something in her stories where that word and black was added in front of it. And we didn't like it then, and we shouldn't like it now. I'm concerned that in our country, we make allowances for people to do whatever just because they can make money and just because they're a popular personality. None of that should matter, because here's what I know. The very fact that at this very moment, I am filtering the things I could potentially say while this man gets the opportunity to say whatever he wants on two of the biggest platforms in sports and entertainment with absolutely no regard for any sort of punishment, while I have to be concerned about my future employment with any of these companies, should spell out a massive problem to you. It is not a level playing field for any of us to be able to say what we want. I can't come on this platform and use that kind of language and expect to be back here on Wednesday, let alone get an opportunity somewhere else in the wrestling world. And to say that is soft, that the WWE shouldn't have some degree of repercussion for Pat McAfee saying something about a female athlete, is to say that what you do in one place shouldn't bleed over into another. And that's just not how things work. That's not, I don't get to sit on Women's Wrestling Talk, berate women, say negative and horrible things, and then hop onto another platform like it's an alternate universe.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that I shouldn't have to be responsible for that, and being responsible for that is soft, says something else. So I think we should rethink this. Now, let me go ahead, because there's clarity to this statement I want to see. I'm speaking WWE side and its context. He didn't call her the B word in a derogatory way. It's soft to react like he did. He made a bad choice in words, and he said that he's sorry. Okay, I want to harden you, special little nobodies. Now, I'm not sure if your profile picture is an accurate representation of who you are. But if it is, let me just hearken you to a certain word called the N-word that nobody really should be using, period. But to assert that, oh, they didn't mean it in the negative way is problematic. And it speaks to a larger problem in this country, which goes way past you. Because personally, I have an issue that the fact that that word is being used in songs and everyday vernacular, but then we say this one can say it and someone else can't. Either it's a good word or it's a bad word.
Right.
Period. And that goes for the B word. Either it's a good word or it's a bad word. It is not a word of affirmation based on who uses it and a word of degradation based on who else uses it. It's not. And I don't want to say that people don't have the opportunity to apologize or that there's not room for redemption. There always is. But I do think at some point we have to sit back and start saying, when are we going to start holding these people accountable for their actions? You are on a major platform where you know these kinds of words are not appropriate. And you use them because you're allowed to get away with it. And that is problematic. It's problematic, and it's just not right. Now, whatever WWE decides to do, we won't have to wait long to find out, because we'll find out, obviously, in about 90 minutes when they go on the air. Will they make some sort of reference to this? I don't know. Though knowing Pat McAfee, there will be some veiled reference to it, because there usually is. But I do think this is interesting. And I think as a network called Women's Wrestling Talk, where we really pay a lot of attention to what women are doing in sports, and considering the WNBA is experiencing such a surge, I just think this is irresponsible. Yeah. It's extremely irresponsible. I'm not saying Pat McAfee should be fired from WWE. And I don't even know that I'm saying that he should be fired from ESPN. But there absolutely should be some sort of reprimand. He should be suspended. He should be fined.
Fine.
He shouldn't just be allowed to show up tomorrow with absolutely no repercussions. Because what are you about the other female athletes that are being covered by ESPN? That's a problem for me. And I will readily admit that I've been a fan of Pat McAfee's commentary in WWE, though this second run, not so much. And last week in particular, and I commented on this in a separate group chat, he referred to Braun Strowman as an SOB three different times in the same match. And I was like, this is really excessive. And from one commentator to another, you need to expand your vocabulary if you have to use the same phrase three times in a given match. Off my soapbox, onto something a bit more pleasant, which is something that happened on SmackDown Friday night. Now, while Honey was in her full Honey Banks mode, there was a lot of conjecture about AJ Styles. Would AJ Styles retire? And it certainly seemed that all signs were pointing to a potential retirement. But that's not exactly what happened. As we got to the end of SmackDown, AJ Styles lured in Cody Rhodes, and in doing that, he went and he clotheslined Cody Rhodes. And this harkened back to, I thought, a great moment, and indeed it was an ode to another retirement gone wrong. And that would be, of course, of one Mark Henry. What were your thoughts, guys, on this very unique callback from AJ Styles onto Mark Henry? Sed, we'll start with you.
Man, beautifully done. I mean, I think a lot of people saw exactly where everything was going. I don't think anybody really thought AJ Styles was going to hang him up. But just executing all the finer points of that moment on the week where Mark Henry became a free agent, no less.
Yes.
Like that's not lost on me as well. There was a lot of Mark Henry energy in the air just last week. So I loved it. And Mark Henry's on Twitter saying that nobody enjoyed it more than him posting all the screen grabs of it, but it was beautifully done. I was actually surprised because I learned AJ Styles' age on Friday. I didn't know he was that old. Had no clue. I would have guessed like earlier 40s. So, but no, still has a lot left in the tank, obviously. And it sets up a good rivalry with Cody. And that's it's like Cody needs this more than AJ needs this to make this title run more legitimate as we go to where it's going to go ahead against WrestleMania season next year.
I like it. Honey, your thoughts on this one? You were obviously live here kind of with the watch along. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I was live and it was fun. At first I was like, what's going on here? He's really retiring. You know, he really kind of he worked me. You know, he sold me on it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, the tears coming down, the Good Brothers even coming out. But I couldn't help but question it because I saw the Good Brothers weren't getting that emotional. So I was just like, wait a minute. And the dead giveaway was the baby blue suit. You go for the salmon Mark Henry suit, and then you got the baby blue AJ suit. So there's another one for the books. But I think this is really great. And like Sed just said, I think Cody needs this a lot more than AJ needs this. But and you know, AJ never has a problem being the heel in any story, and he does it very, very well. Whether he's the phenomenal one as a face or as a heel, he does great either way, because he is the phenomenal one. But I also was thinking about how this is going to go forward, because, you know, it could create, you know, maybe a best out of three with these two for AJ for a championship title, you know, opportunity again. And he's definitely going to get his rematch clause for sure. But yeah, to say the least, AJ Styles sold me on that really well. It was good. And also the fun fact that when it all happened, I'm like, wait a minute. We have Bullet Club leaders in this ring. I don't know why it didn't occur to me even then. You know what I'm saying? Like, even in Backlash. And I was just like, wait a minute. Duh. And then the Good Brothers being involved now. I think that's really, really interesting. So I thought it was cool.
It's equally wild that you also have Finn, Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, all in WWE right now.
Yes.
It's a wild time. To be in WWE. Let me ask you this, Jason. There's obviously the Bullet Club reference that we saw there. There's the throwback, the callback to Mark Henry. Do you think that this callback to Mark Henry could be a larger sign connected to Mark Henry? Or is this just a cool history-making moment that they did a callback to?
I don't know if it has anything to do with Mark Henry as far as, you know, coming back to WWE or even being involved with AJ and Cody. I think that if he wasn't wearing that blue suit, I might have thought, okay, maybe he is retiring. I didn't think it was a retirement, and I think it might have just been my eyes bigger than my stomach kind of thing. Like with this TNA interaction at NXT, I thought, well, maybe I don't have anything to prove here. I have to go to the back of the line for the title, but I'm going to go back to where it all began, go back to TNA. And I thought maybe that's what it could have been. I don't think it has anything to do with Mark Henry, you know, being involved, but I think Mark Henry being back in WWE would be good for the younger talent. But as far as with AJ, I don't think it has anything to do with it.
Well, it was certainly a great callback. And I think seeing Mark Henry's reaction and seeing how people responded was just really, really amazing. And Bear Hudson, the baby blue suit needs to be in the Hall of Fame. I agree. right next to that pastel melon color there for sure. And I thought I saw, I want to make sure I saw this right. Yeah, Cousin Ron was in the house for that. That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. Nice. I love, love, love to see that. Let's see. Dylan says, I honestly thought in the week that Jordan Grace came to TNA, I thought AJ was going to say he was going to TNA for a while, which that certainly would not have been an impossibility. Let's see. The Bullet Club has a chance to bring gold to AJ's hands on Sunday, even though it's NXT gold. Gold is gold. Oh, okay, the tag title match. All right, I was just thinking about which one that would be. Hope this is the start of a more significant role for Doc and Anderson. I'd like to have the chance to see if they really cook. And that would be interesting to see what they could do. Let's see. Dylan says, if they don't win the NXT tag titles, you're going to riot. Well, get your riot gear ready because I don't know. Yeah. I literally have picked up Gallows in my fantasy wrestling league. Okay, cool. That actually sounds interesting. Fantasy wrestling league. That sounds like fun. That sounds like a lot of fun. I'd like to hear more about that at some point.
More deets,
please. That can't be really a thing, right?
That has to be a thing.
Oh, it very well could be. Isn't Meechan in the North American title match? Yes, indeed, she is. And so speaking of this callback to Mark Henry, Mark Henry had a very busy week. Now, remember, at the top of the week, he announced that he was officially leaving AEW, and he didn't take long to start making an impression in other places. As this weekend, he was a part of MLW's Battle Riot right here in Atlanta, as he and Ted Long were part of the Elders for the match for the Beaumaye Fight Club, where Alex Kane battled AJ Francis for control of the Beaumaye Fight Club. It was a very incredible match. Battle Riot itself was fantastic, and it is available for free on the MLW YouTube page. So if you guys want to see how this all turned out, it's pretty amazing. But my question now is, Mark Henry is clearly making an impression, and he's not taking long. Showing up in MLW this weekend. At the end of the month, he'll be with All Caribbean Wrestling in both Bahamas and Jamaica. What do you think is happening here with Mark Henry and what it is that he's potentially trying to do in terms of his legacy in the wrestling world? Jason, we'll start with you.
I think he's trying to get paid right now. Make that indie run. Get a little, you know, his payday is probably a little higher now from his time in AEW and what he's done in WWE. He's probably just trying to make the indie run. You know, I don't see anything wrong with that. And then, you know, like a lot of these guys that have been recently released, they're going to go make their go make some money, you know. But as far as the legacy itself, like I said earlier, he's great for any talent, younger talent in any locker room. So if he doesn't want to go back to WWE in that schedule right now, go do some of these indies. Go see what's out there. And then maybe this can be an added thing to him returning to WWE. Hey, I've been doing some scouting over the last 6 months. Here's A, B, and C that I think really need to get looked at. I don't know if WWE, I mean, I know William Regal is back in WWE, but I don't know if they have actual scouts. I don't know how that part of the business works, but like maybe that's all part of his, you know, things he's trying to add to his resume, things that he can add to go back. Not that it's needed. And I know someone's probably saying he doesn't need that, but I really feel like he's just trying to do good on the indies, help the business even more. And then when he goes back, if he goes back, he can also go work as a scout slash producer as well.
Honey, what do you see as the future for Mark Henry?
I think it's just the legend making the rounds, you know, doing what he does best, you know, looking for new talent, helping new talent, putting them up, you know, collaborations and such. I think, you know, he's like he said, he's just getting, like Jason said, he's just getting his coin. Let him get his coin on, man. He's the world's strongest man. He's a Hall of Famer. He's got nothing to prove. And we know he's an excellent scout and producer, and you know he's a great asset and brings value to any company no matter where he goes. So I think this is just Mark Henry making the rounds and just like Jason said, I would have to agree, just doing what's best for business and just, you know, helping out the young talent.
Seth, let me ask you this, because what's so interesting about the wrestling world right now is just how much it has evolved in just 3 years' time. From him leaving WWE and going to AEW, you could make the argument that right now the independents have a ton of incredible talent that could use his expertise. AEW, I think, still could very much use his expertise. TNA could use it, as could WWE. Where do you think is the place where Mark Henry would fit the best, given his skill set in terms of his impact on younger talent?
Wow, that's a really well thought out question. I would say what Mark Henry's doing right now is he is giving back to the business. I think he's been doing it in a number of ways for years, and now he's just spread his wing a little bit more now that he's not under that AEW contract. I would even go to say in AEW, probably in an on-screen capacity, he was kind of limited to just being a catchphrase on Friday nights. I would say somebody like Mark Henry could be used very well in the WWE PC around NXT talent. And I think what he's doing on the independent scene kind of lends to that, kind of giving the game back, because he's still been around the business very vocally, especially with Busted Open Radio, going as far to say as who would be in his Nation of Domination, critiquing AEW at times on Busted Open Radio as far as how he would do things differently. So I think he has a heart to give back to the business, and putting him around the youth and letting him know about how the locker room should be, how they should train as athletes, how they should handle their travel schedules and things like that are things that he genuinely wants to give back. And I think that PC role would be best suited for like this iteration of his career. I think signing to AEW, I think they're trying to maybe squeeze one more match out of him versus Big Show, which never came to fruition. I think that's when they decided like, hey, let's make him kind of the Bruce Buffer of Friday nights. And that's all it was. So I think he's happy to kind of be able to kind of spread his wings around and give more valuable advice to younger athletes all around. But if you can put him in the PC with a lot of these NIL athletes coming from being a former Olympian, former wrestler as well, hell, his son is right now, I think he'd be able to tell all these younger athletes how to transition from being just an athlete to being a pro wrestler.
Yeah. And I think his skill set is so incredibly valuable that wherever he ends up applying his talent, whoever's there is going to end up being better for it. And so I think this will be very interesting to watch what this chapter of his career holds. And again, cheap plug, you guys will be able to check him out with All Caribbean Wrestling at the end of the month in the Bahamas, and then at the top of July as well in Jamaica, assisting the talent there. It should be very, very interesting. Now, speaking of AEW, it is Forbidden Door season. And so we're seeing very interesting crossovers happening, including over the weekend. Toni Storm, along with Mariah May, making an appearance at, of all places, Stardom, which was a wild move. And in there, we found out that Toni Storm has issued a challenge for her next opponent, and that would be Mina Shirakawa. Now, this one is so interesting because of the connection, of course, between Mina and Mariah May. And you could see on Mariah May's face how uncomfortable she was with that. This is also unique because normally we see outside talent coming in challenge AEW, but in this case, the AEW Women's Champion challenging outside of the company. What do you think about the potential of this match? And is this something that excites you for a Forbidden Door pay-per-view that I think a cloud or so above it, given the status of the current New Japan talent? Jason, we'll start with you.
Anything that can expose me to new talent that I'm not familiar with, I'm in for. I don't get to watch a lot of New Japan. I'm not even sure how to watch it. So this is exciting for me. And that's why I like things like Forbidden Door, because you get to see people. Now, I feel like this year is going to be a little different, because usually it was AEW, New Japan. I think now we're going to have some CMLL interaction, New Japan. So I think it's great. And everything that Toni Storm's doing, I'm here for it. It's can't miss TV. It is must-see TV. So let's do it.
Absolutely. Sed, your thoughts on this one?
Jason, the mayor has ways for you to watch New Japan. We'll talk about that offline.
Off air. Yes.
there are no.
Yeah.
We won't discuss the legalities of it, but there's ways. There's ways.
There are legal ways too.
And you would know. You would know. Man. That's the legal way.
There's perks to being in council here. There's perks.
Oh boy.
No, I like the outside of the box thinking with her showing up at Stardom and kind of picking her challenger. I think that's something that obviously has been missing from the build up to this Forbidden Door. So I'm interested in this feud. I think that pushes this match possibly to the top of the card for me, just while the rest of the build currently is still well to shake out. And our big title match, which is the AEW World title, will not be against a New Japan star. I think that's kind of disappointing. So I think with having your biggest women's star right now call somebody out and we get to be exposed to a outside-the-box talent, that's what Forbidden Door is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a crossing of universes to where you have somebody else be featured on AEW's platform. You see two different worlds collide that you would not have seen on another show. So good on Tony Storm, good on Stardom for them making this happen. But it's unfortunate that you're not seeing more New Japan stars be featured prominently, at least not yet.
Yeah, you know, part of the challenge, I think, for New Japan is at this particular stage, there aren't nearly as many New Japan known stars as there were 2-3 years ago when this pay-per-view concept began. And so now AEW is having to lean into some of their other partnerships like Stardom, like CLL or CMLL and the like. So we also found out Wednesday night during what was supposed to be the Mercedes Moné championship celebration that turned into a match with her and Sky Blue, where at the end of that, Stephanie Vaquer would make her way out and seemingly become the next challenger for Forbidden Door. She's the current strong champion. And of course, that was the title that Mercedes was competing for when she had the unfortunate injury that took her out for a year. Honey, what are your thoughts on perhaps Mercedes versus Stephanie Vaquer at Forbidden Door?
Let's go, I guess. Here we go. Get that championship run going, girl. Let's see you get busy. Let's see you be the greatest of all time. Let's see you make that money's worth, you know, that contract was hefty. Ahem, as I would say. But, you know, I'm here for it. I'm always, you know, it's women's wrestling talk. I'm always here for the ladies. Look, what's her name? Stephanie, how you say her last name?
Stephanie Vaquer.
I've heard her name in rumblings and I've seen her bits and pieces when I've watched AEW and I've heard her names here in rumblings. So I can't wait to really actually be able to watch her and see what she has. And what, you know, hopefully she gives her money worth to Mercedes Moné. You know, if the CEO could keep up.
Now, Stephanie Vaquer defeated Julia to win the Strong Openweight Championship. But what's very interesting to me that this news is really coming out, that this is one of the reasons why I wanted to mention this to you, honey, and we'll obviously get to set on this in a second. This championship celebration devolved into this match with Sky Blue that was not initially announced or originally scheduled. What was originally scheduled was a match between Mariah May and Saraya. It is being reported that this championship celebration and then the subsequent match ultimately bumped Mariah May and Saraya from this week's episode or from last week's episode of Dynamite, moving them to this week's episode of Dynamite. Saraya apparently was not happy about this at all. She took to the socials and had some choice words before deleting both her tweet and changing her bio. And so in light of this and our discussion on Friday, I want to ask the question, Do you think that the Mercedes Monet effect is positively or negatively impacting the AEW room if a scheduled match was literally postponed to this week that had already been advertised for a match that was not even advertised? Let me go to Seth on this one first, because I want to hear what the lawyer has to say.
I mean, card is subject to change all the time. I'm pretty sure there's been segments bumped when Saraya first came into AEW and was dominating the space without even wrestling a match. So it's funny how the tables turn and you get the complaints on that end. But again, the match is going to be had. I mean, she can be upset about it. I mean, the bigger star is getting the TV time. But that's more of a Tony Khan thing, and not just curating more women's wrestling segments on television. He has a shiny new toy. He's going to go to the shiny new toy, which, by the way, if it is Stephanie Vaccour, they wrestled last year at Resurgence, and that's going to be a banger. That was probably the best of the four matches for that first strong open women's championship match that I saw in person at Long Beach last year, Mercedes and Stephanie. So hopefully that is booked for Forbidden Door.
Jason, what are your thoughts on this? Are we at a space where we should be bumping fellow women's matches right now, or was there potentially room for both of these matches?
I have a theory, and this theory was actually for the Swerve Ospreay, but I think it falls in line with this situation as well. Dynamite was at the Forum in LA last week. Lots of Warner executives were there. I think that for Tony Khan, maybe it was a fear thing. He's like, well, I got to show these people what I can do because they still don't have a new deal yet. So I think it's, you know, if it makes dollars, it makes sense. You put your bigger stars, your newer stars out. And I think that's what happened. They have the first match on television of Mercedes Moné in what, two or three years, you know, on regular TV, not pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. I think it was maybe that Tony's got to show these executives, hey, we're worth the money. We think you should give us more money than you did last time. I think it might have been a fear factor and was like, I got to do something to show that we are worth the investment. And putting Mercedes out there over Saraya and Mariah May might have been that one of those moves. It's a theory. I don't know if it's right or not, but I think there's something to it.
It's quite... honey, carry on, because I know you've got something to say.
I guess if this is what we're going with, need I remind y'all, when they brought in Paige, it was done in a very big way. But I don't recall her really having a great title run either. But I guess this could be something where, and you know what, Paige is a sassy one. So if she was really upset and truly upset, and I did see that tweet. By all means, be upset, girl, because you're not for nothing. The whole point, not just the whole point of being in this kind of business, but you want to be the one at the top. You want to be number one. But Saraya, in this case, not Paige, Saraya needs to remember that she's not Paige in this situation. This is an AEW as well. So I understand her frustration, although I don't agree with this move, but I understand why it was done. You got to do what's best for business. And if Mercedes Moné is bringing in the dollar signs and putting the butts in seats, then so be it. But I don't want Saraya to float away in the wings and just be lost in the shuffle, like all the other superstars that they don't know what to do with and they don't know how to book in AEW. So I guess Tony Khan had to step his game up in that moment. I guess rightfully so. I don't know what I would do if I was in that situation, but if this was in WWE, if this was done in WWE, you best believe they're putting Paige up front for Sasha. I'm sorry. I am. I'm not saying that. No. I'm not trying to be a hater. No. I'm not trying to be a hater. You're talking about a woman who's outsold Stone Cold Steve Austin. You can't deny who Paige was when she was in her prime. She was technically first. Technically, I'm just saying, out of all the four horsewomen, technically. But that's another conversation for another time. So we're not going to do that now, Mayor.
We're not about to do this today.
That's what I said.
We are not going to insinuate that Paige, Soraya Jade Beavis has been a bigger star than Mercedes Ronado. Absolutely not.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Absolutely not.
I'm not doing it. What is the case?
And I don't want to give the fake TK too much credit. What are the chances that we are being worked? Because I think as soon as Mercedes eventually signed with AEW, people thought like, oh, you can do this Soraya Mercedes match because Mercedes is the one that quote unquote injured Soraya before she was able to return to the ring. I think that's still a long-term story they can tell with those two if they want to go that route.
I think we might be giving some people way too much credit. Like I think one of the things that wrestling fans will do is as we're reaching and reaching for something that doesn't make sense, at the end of the day, we'll go, oh, long-term storytelling. Long-term storytelling as an idea only works for those who've actually used it. And AEW, certainly over the last couple of years, has not been known for their long-term storytelling. So I'm not sure that that is the explanation for this. My primary concern here is trying to understand with the run that Mariah May has been on, and we haven't seen Soraya on TV in quite some time. Why have you, to me, if, okay. Now, this is not going to be a TK analogy because we know how TK analogies can move in one direction or another. But if TK, the real TK, had, you know, like people coming to scout out WWT Live, she would obviously put what she believes to be her best foot forward. The question to me is, do you go and grab brand new stars, or have you invested in the people you've been working with such that you go, I can put them on display because they're the best of what we have? And my concern here is for the fake TK, who is Mariah May has been in matches for quite some time. Soraya has been signed with the company for quite some time. You have this match scheduled. It's not like you just did a pop-up in LA. You knew LA was on the schedule for this week the whole time. So why advertise a women's match like this and then make a last minute change to this because the investors are coming? Like, to me, that's my concern. Is the bigger statement here is you haven't invested in your own talent enough to say they're ready for the investors. Because here's the thing. On any given week, the investors are going to turn on the TV and see those people anyway. You don't have Mercedes every quarter hour on your show. You don't have that. And so that leads to this other piece, which I know you were going to. The other thing that we learned is who would be the challenger for Swerve at Forbidden Door? And Tony Khan, in his creative nature, decided to go with what worked for the International Championship, which was this casino gauntlet match. And I guess since the concept worked, we should go with the same winner, Will Ospreay, who, by the way, just won the International Championship 3 whole days before this match. Why he's in this match for the number one contender for the World Championship at a pay-per-view called Forbidden Door, which should highlight someone from another company, a little beyond me. Why we have a champion versus champion match at Forbidden Door when the champions are both in AEW? A little beyond me. So let me ask the question. Is it too soon for Will Ospreay, who has just won his first championship in AEW, is it too soon for him to have a shot at the world title? That's the first question. Jason, let's start with you.
I think so. And with my theory, you know, one thing I do want to add, Professor, there are a lot of executives that probably don't watch wrestling. So that might be another thing that there might be some executives coming that don't really know what it is. So Tony wants to try to pop the crowd, but pop these new executives. But Originally, like I said, the idea was that I thought Ospreay winning was to show the Warner Brothers Discovery what they have and what they can do. Do I think this is a big surprise? Everybody thought it was going to be in Wembley, not at, I think Forbidden Door's in Long Island this year or Chicago. I don't even know.
Long Island. So, Long Island. Yep.
I just think it's too soon. He won the international title and now he's the number one contender. Let him run 2 months with the international title and then somehow earn that title shot at Wembley. But it's too soon right now. But I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up beating Swerve and being a double champ. I don't want to happen, but I would not be surprised if it happens.
So that was going to be my next question. And honey, I'll start with you. Well, for one, yeah. Does Will Ospreay win the world title at Forbidden Door?
I understand this is y'all Billy Goat. For those of you watching, and for those of you who may be a fan of Ospreay, this is y'all Goat, but he's not my Goat. I've been waiting a long time for Swerve to get his hands on some gold. He finally finished his story. Let him run with it, and let him have a historic run, because he should, especially as first Black champion, AEW champion, in the company as well. But Will Ospreay, I mean, I feel like I can't help but this is like, I mean, I understand the business aspect, Jason, and the executives, and you want to appeal to your big customers in the crowd. But at the same time, are we showing too much favoritism to this guy? I understand he's a strong favorite. He's a highlight reel every week. He puts on great matches. But I'm just saying, like, are they kind of like force feeding us? I can't help but feel like I'm being force fed Will Ospreay at this point. I don't see the point of him going at Swerve so quickly and so soon, especially 3 days coming off of this championship. I do agree with Professor that he should take this and run with it as much as he can with the international championship on his own. You know, I don't want anything to tarnish Swerve's title run. Honestly, I really don't, because I'm a big fan of Swerve and I've loved what he's done, and I think that he should continue to be champion going forward. So no, I don't believe that Ospreay wins. I don't think he should either. Not now.
Said, what do you think? Forbidden Door, is this Swerve making history, giving Ospreay his first AEW loss, or is this Ospreay continuing his meteoric rise to the world championship?
This is the problem with all of these signings, like, so compacted together, is that you put yourself in a position to just want to feature everybody so soon. And you could have held this match to Wembley and gave yourself less booking problems. But I think what a lot of fans are feeling is like this inherent fear that Swerve can be the shortest reign AEW champion, if that's the case, just because you have this new star in Will Ospreay, and you could have done a lot of good with Will Ospreay taking on somebody like a Jeff Cobb, who was just vocal a week ago, your New Japan mm-hmm. strong open weight champ. I think that would have been a great match between those two guys, and give Swerve maybe a match against Shota Umino or something like that. You didn't need to do this so soon. You could have done it on a bigger platform, but I will say even a face-off would have been okay for right now. But this match didn't need to happen until Wembley if you're going to coronate Ospreay. But I will say on record that I do feel like Swerve does defeat Ospreay. But even in still, that doesn't put a good taste in my stomach for Wembley if Swerve will lose in Wembley, which would still be an incredibly short reign for your first ever African-American world champion. So either way, Tony has booked himself into a very ugly corner, and people see it ahead of time, and he has to do something to kind of switch courses here.
Yeah, there have not been, as I think about it, I mean, there have been some really obvious moves that it was like, no, he shouldn't make this, and the obvious move ends up being made. You know, and you can harken back to Double or Nothing with Mercedes defeating Willow when there was a strong case for Willow to win. You know, and I think most of us had, as soon as Ospreay signed, said, okay, Ospreay wins the world title at All In. He's in London. It just makes sense, et cetera, et cetera. I think we'd resolved ourselves to this. But the idea, and it's a hard one, because on one hand, if Swerve wins, this obviously, I think, builds his title run to be something significant. Not to say that Ospreay doesn't get the rematch at All In, and then they do it there. But it's literally like you have already made Ospreay Thanos at this point. You know, he's beaten Takeshita. He's beaten Bryan Danielson. He's won the international championship. He's won not one, but two gauntlet matches in a month's time. Like, what else can you put in front of him that he can't do? So I don't know. I don't feel all that great about this. But we still have 4 weeks ahead of us, and who knows if any of that could change. Oh, yeah, and MJF's back. Whatever that could mean, right? Now, same world champion who, by the way, I think he probably has done the most media appearances in the most unique places of any AEW world champion, which is kind of cool to see. But he was recently interviewed, and Swerve said that with all this talk of Forbidden Door, now may be the most likely time for AEW and WWE to actually work together. So with the AEW world champion saying this, the WWE already playing ball with TNA and Pro Wrestling Noah and All Japan, do we see, perhaps in 2024, or maybe even 2025, some sort of collaborative effort between AEW and WWE?
I think in the tradition of wrestling business, never say never. That's what I'm going to go with.
I would love to
see that as well.
I would love to see it. I just don't know if it, because we've seen AEW work with other companies before, and what happens? AEW always wins. So I don't see it, but like Honey said, anything's possible. So we'll just have to wait and see.
We saw Jordynne Grace appear with the TNA Knockouts Championship on NXT WWE soil in the Performance Center. Never say never.
So I guess I'm going to be the contrarian here and say no shot. Zero shot. And not because Swerve isn't doing the right type of lobbying, but I feel like this is more of a cry for help for the booking of his title reign than anything else. I think he's like, damn, I need some actual relevance because I'm about to drop this thing to Will in another month. not for anything else. Mm-hmm. But like, there's zero way that WWE would work with AEW just because of all the petty lowbrow shots that Fake TK has taken at the company. I don't even think Trips would allow NXT to work with AEW because we've seen how one-sided their partnerships has been, and TK has shown no willingness to say like, hey, I'm going to bend the knee to Big Brother, despite how Big Brother actually is. So I think that's the detriment. I think WWE has been willing to play ball on the right terms and conditions while AEW has not, and we've seen that in their current partnership. So I don't see a chance that would ever happen unless AEW is really on its last legs. Like, hey, let's try to do some type of programming. But then I don't even think it would be main roster. I think it would only be NXT.
So this could get interesting. Let's look at some of these comments here. And then I have a point that I want to just make sure I remind people of. Let's see. Special Nobody says, I hope Swerve didn't win that title just to check off a box. He is very talented and should get a good run. I agree. Dylan says, Swerve knows who his boss is, right? He does. But, you know, I there's also wishful thinking, right? Not with Fake TK hating WWE with a passion. That deserves a womp. Tony Khan would demand 100% of the booking rights. Yeah, he likely would. This is probably the funniest comment of the day. Not with the way the Fake TK acts like a Swiftie online. Hilarious. So I want to remind people, and this is just the historian in me, if you get a chance, I believe this is on the WWE Network, go back and watch an event from the AWA called Super Clash. They did a couple of these Super Clashes. One of them, as a Super Clash, was done in an attempt to be an answer to WrestleMania. And they did a Super Clash where it involved the AWA, the NWA, and a couple of other promotions. And, you know, a lot of the matches ended in DQ and all of these kinds of things because it took, you know, trying to get these guys in a room to say, okay, what decisions would be best didn't work. And they were trying to put an event against WWE. And then there's always Super Clash 3. It was main evented by Jerry Lawler, who was the AWA World Champion, against Kerry Von Erich, who was the World Clash Champion. And it was supposed to unify those titles into a unified world championship. And the stories about that and even how all of that went, it was a cluster. Trust me when I tell you, this is, it's actually probably much easier done in a fantasy booking league than there is to get these people in a room together. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, stranger things have happened, but I'm not sure that this version of Tony Khan, who called the WWE Harvey Weinstein, I'm not sure that he would be interested in actually working with them to put on a show where both companies actually come out looking good. Not sure. But we'll see. Again, he called them Harvey Weinstein.
That Shield match ain't never happening. Ugh.
No, it's not happening. It's not happening. But I'll tell you what is happening. Tomorrow night on Vice TV is the premiere of Who Killed WCW. It is a four-part docuseries that is talking about the end or the death of what was WWE's chiefest rival in the business. There are a lot of very interesting names who were a part of this and who lived through this that are a part of this documentary. Names like Eric Bischoff, names like Kevin Nash, Booker T, a lot of very interesting names. It's produced by Dwayne The Rock Johnson and the folks over who handle Dark Side of the Ring. Goldberg is involved in this, a number of other people. I guess my question to you is, this four-week series, do you imagine that we will learn something about the death of WCW that we have not already learned in the multiple, you know, specials and series that have come out about this? Jason, we'll start with you.
I don't think so. I know everyone's like saying, do you want the real story or the fake story or whatever? But, and Brian Gewirtz has been doing a lot of media. He's on Busted Open. He's been on a lot of the podcasts I listened to over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, they think it's going to be a hit, and I don't doubt that it will be. I just don't think we're going to get anything new. And if we do, I will be completely surprised, because I feel like out of all the different documentaries and books and stories and podcasts and shoot interviews, I think we've heard almost every angle. Maybe this is the one that has the angle we've never heard of.
What do you think, honey? Are we getting something new out of this one, or will we just kind of hear what we've always heard?
I think, I don't know. I think we'll get, you know, shades of what we've already been hearing for years. I also think that we will get some possible dives, you know. We'll be getting some, like, some interesting situations where there are certain things that we haven't heard before, things that occurred behind the scenes and not so much on the camera that we saw and that was told to us as far as the wrestling storytelling in WCW. Being that it's being directed or, well, starring even by Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Seven Bucks Productions are behind it, I'm really, really intrigued to see what he could contribute to this documentary and what he would know about the inside scoop of what also happened, maybe from WWE's perspective on his end of things during the Attitude Era. And, you know, we heard a lot about, you know, the Click story so much. Maybe we can hear other superstars that, you know, suffered under that, not maybe not suffered, but also, you know, just had to deal with all of that publicity going on with the war, you know, the Monday Night Wars and things like that, and the controversies with Bischoff and Vince McMahon buying WCW. So I think there's going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of everything that we've heard already, plus some other things that maybe we might not have ever heard.
Said, what are your thoughts, man? Do we learn something new about the diff of WCW? And even more so, the other team behind this, of course, is the team behind Dark Side of the Ring, who has been known to uncover a lot of very interesting stories about topics we thought we knew. Do you think that that crew can bring us something that all of the others who have told this story have not?
Ooh, I'm trusting the Beehive on this one. That's the final boss hive. I'm trusting them to uncover the dirt. Somebody's getting thrown under the bus. I don't know who, but somebody is getting thrown under the bus. If Dwayne attached his name to it and said, we have this iconic way to portray this imagery of this company, I don't know what WCW name is going to come out looking bad out of this, out of the interviewees we have, but somebody is getting thrown under the bus. We're going to find out who really soon. So I believe unequivocally we're getting new intel. We're going to get somebody that was like, hey, this shouldn't have happened. This shouldn't have happened. We shouldn't have brought this guy in backstage. I believe we're going to get all that information that tells a different imagery of WCW when they were at the height of trying to compete with Attitude Era. I believe it. I don't think Dwayne would attach himself to it if there wasn't a different angle that we could learn about.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what else is interesting that most people may not realize. Most of the stories that we've heard about the death of WCW have come from one side of the fence. And that was something that was produced in-house by WWE. And so whenever the winners tell the story, it's a different perspective than those who lost. And so I'm very interested in seeing what this crew has dug up and what the, you know, to me, if Kevin Nash is saying what the real story is, I'm like, okay, I want to know, because he was there, you know? And so I'll be interested to see, and we don't have to wait long. There's actually a preview up on Vice's YouTube channel that you can check out. I think it's like a 15-minute preview. And again, the whole show debuts tomorrow night in the time slot of Dark Side of the Ring, which is Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you check that out on Vice. Okay, we're going to get ready to go, but two quick things as quick as we can before we get out of here. Oh, I was going to do three. All right, we'll do this quickly. Gable Steveson has, you know, he was released from WWE just a few weeks ago, and the question was, where would he go? Well, he talked potentially about MMA, the Olympics, or the NFL. And we now know that he will be joining the Buffalo Bills. We'll see how that goes very quickly. Said, is this a good move? The Buffalo Bills welcoming Gable Steveson, who, to my knowledge, was an amateur wrestler, not exactly a football player. Maybe there's something I'm missing.
Multiple-time Olympian, one of the best wrestlers of this generation. I don't know what version of privilege this is, but I'm intrigued by it. I'm very much intrigued by it because the man has never played football in his life, but he's an absolute unit, 270 pounds. He's supposedly going to play on the D-line. And up until this tryout he recently had with the Buffalo Bills, he's never even wore a pair of cleats. So very interested. Wow. I think he won't be anything more than a camp body this summer, and they'll give him a look. But I think he's going to be very hard-pressed to make the roster. But I know it was a little too late for him to make the Olympic trials for Paris. So I think he went to the natural best thing. I think he said, hey, I'm training for MMA. He was training out in Florida. I don't think he really wants to get hit in the face. So we took the next logical thing and said, hey, I'll put on some shoulder pads and try this and make a couple thousand, $100,000 in camp. But I don't think he'll make a Final 53. I would be surprised if he made a Final 53 roster.
Jason, that's a great question. Does Gable Steveson end up on the starting lineup of the Buffalo Bills?
I have a audio response prepared. Coming down in 3, 2, 1. Just because another Minnesota guy went to WWE and then tried out for the NFL and almost made it doesn't mean this guy is going to make it. Now, had he been released, I believe it was like 2 months earlier, he would have had a chance to qualify for the Olympics. So I'm surprised he's not going MMA, but again, another former Minnesota guy that went to WWE and tried out for an NFL team who went to MMA, who also did not like getting punched in the face. So it's just the it's the Lesnar story almost all over again. I think he ends up in MMA. It's just I don't think he makes this team. It's a PR move. It's a let's give the guy a chance and see what we can get. But what a crazy situation.
Crazy. So, honey, before I let you hop on this one, I want you to hop on something that I know you're really caring about. And that is, over the weekend, this showed up on WWE.com. Uncle Howdy literally took over WWE.com for the weekend and promised a massacre is coming to WWE. How close are we to the unveiling of whatever Uncle Howdy has planned, honey?
Listen, I said it before and I'll say it again. It's going to be absolutely chaotic with a capital C. Okay. I don't know if I'm ready. Like, I'm ready to see how they roll this out. I'm excited to see it. Like, I love how they've been, you know, teasing and sending all these QR codes and you know, these video vignettes. Like, these vignettes are awesome. Like, I just can't wait to see what the final product looks like and how it's set up or how they unveil each member. I can't help but feel in you know, in my crystal ball that it's going to be happening very, very soon. I just don't know how soon. But it's like every time a video comes out or a QR code pops up, it just gets stronger and stronger. My curiosity just goes deeper and deeper into it. I just want them to just hurry the hell up. Just hurry the hell up already. I just want to see it. And I just can't wait to see it. I don't know if anybody else has the same sentiments as I do, but I love this stuff. And I just love what they're doing with it. I just hope that it's done in the best way possible to tribute our beloved Bray Wyatt / Wyndham.
Dylan clearly wants this to happen. He has been saying this for weeks now. Jason, how close are we to the unveiling of Uncle Howdy? Is it Clash at the Castle? Is it Money in the Bank? Is it SummerSlam? Is it tonight?
You know, I don't know. I have not followed the QR codes and the phone numbers and the website stuff. So I just would like it to happen sooner than later, but I am curious how it's going to roll out. Is it going to be, if it's a group, we'll say, is it all at once? Do they pick off a person throughout the night on an episode of Raw and then they all form at the end of the night? I think I am more excited for the execution, not necessarily when. It's going to happen when it's going to happen. I just am curious how the rollout's going to be.
Okay.
It's going to be better than. Oops, sorry.
I think I agree with Jason. I'm more curious about the execution of it happening. And I think we kind of got a date through the tea leaves of some of these QR codes as being 6/17. So that is Monday Night Raw in a couple more weeks. Yes. So I think I would like to see. I mean, a lot of these people that are rumored to be in this faction, the Wyatt Six, I would like to see them start appearing in the backstage segments of Monday Night Raw and start getting kidnapped one by one. I love the horror movie genre. So if they can do something like that, I don't even necessarily believe there needs to be a target. I don't want there to be a target. I'd rather there just be like a solid reveal of the group at some point. And then just let them, I would like to see the show just have a complete takeover, live television be taken over for like 30 minutes or something like that. I think that would be interesting if they were to do it like that.
Was the word massacre used?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. A massacre is coming.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
I was not imagination.
I was on live and I was discussing with, you know, the viewers and people in the chat that this could possibly something like of a faction. This is definitely going to be a faction that does not give a damn about titles. They just want madness and chaos, and they're just going to run through everybody and everyone. And according to everything that we've seen the last couple of weeks, I can't help but feel that these members have lots of history with the people that are currently highlighted on the roster. So I feel like this is going to just get juicier and juicier as we go. And it's certainly going to be a much better rollout than Gable Stevenson's defensive lineman debut, for sure. That's just my opinion. Because if anybody was wondering, as far as that goes, this is how I feel.
I'm not feeling it.
You're not the only one.
Well said. Well said. Well, we're getting ready for Monday Night Raw. A lot is scheduled to happen. Liv Morgan will make an appearance. And after kissing Dom last week, I can only imagine what she has planned tonight. That should be very interesting. It's a very stacked show that will feature the debut of Kiana James. Kiana James will take on the Boat Natalya. Should be a very solid match.
But
the world champion, yes, the world champion, Damian Priest goes up against the Hall of Famer Rey Mysterio, who of course is the father of his fellow member, Dominic Mysterio. This match is going to be very interesting. Ricochet and Braun Breaker. Wow. This is going to be nuts tonight.
This better not also, be no one and done.
No, I think, I got Ricochet's no idea, but it's going to be crazy.
Ricochet is the only one fast enough to get away from Braun. When
to
he's
dodge that spear. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that spear and how quick Braun is crazy. Sheamus goes up against Ludwig Kaiser tonight, and the New Day takes on the Authors of Pain. That is what Monday Night Raw will look like tonight. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what's going to happen here on Monday Night Raw. And a reminder again. Oh, sorry, one more. Dragon Lee and Finn Balor. It's going to be a very busy night for the Judgment Day. Looking forward to this. The LWO will be pretty busy as well. Should be a very, very good night of Monday Night Raw. And remember, in case you did not, this past Friday, we had that show about the Four Horsewomen. I want you guys to go back and check it out. Relive it. It is available on our YouTube channel and all of our streams. It was a lot of fun. Really excited about that. All
right. That was the order from left to right, by the way, everybody. That was the order from left to right, if you want spoilers.
You know what? What? Oh, gosh.
It was totally not. It was totally not.
Oh, boy. Oh,
I'm gonna have to. I'm going to have to pull out a black wig next week.
See, I can't wait. Jason, how can the people find you on these good socials?
Every Friday, that wrestling podcast, me and three of my friends, we've been friends about 20 years now. And like I'd said in the past, it started out as a group chat, and then the pandemic happened. I was like, hey, then it was Zoom calls. I was like, hey, why don't we record this and see what happens? So 3 years later, we're almost to episode 200. I think this week is 189, 4,000 YouTube subscribers. And just having a lot of fun. I will not be on this week because I have another sanitation convention I have to attend to. So my guys will all be there. I won't be at that WrestlePod on socials and at that wrestling podcast on YouTube.
Very, very good. Seth, how can the people find you?
You find me on Twitter at @CWD_SAYS. On the gram at Seth is the answer. I write for this platform. You can find me here Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Also, if you're looking into journalism exports, CedricDWelton.com.
Very good. Wrestling with Honey, of course, how can we find you?
You can find me here Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays with the crew, WWT Live. Find me every Friday night here as well for our Honey SmackDown watch along. Don't forget our NXT post show every Wednesday. TikTok Wrestling with Honey, Instagram Wrestling with Honey, Facebook Wrestling W Honey, and the YouTube Wrestling with Honey podcast.
Excellent. Of course, you guys can find me at Bonnerfied across all of the social spaces. Commentary work you can find on IWTV with IWE and Southern Honor Wrestling. You can also find me on YouTube. The YouTube channel for the Nightmare Factory houses some pretty cool things that I'm involved with.
What? Oh, boy. Oh, gosh. Making me nervous about tonight already. Tonight. See, I'm off now. The Nightmare Factory. You can check out my work there on their YouTube channel, as well as Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling. The month of June is going to be very, very busy. Big show with Southern Honor this week. Also, a big show with Ashe Wrestling coming on June the 22nd, featuring Shelton Benjamin against Jonathan Gresham. I cannot wait. That's going to be crazy. And then the following week, I'll be in the Bahamas with All Caribbean Wrestling. And then the week after that, I'll be in Jamaica with All Caribbean Wrestling. A lot of cool things are happening. So make sure you are checking out all of our work there. Now, as it pertains to Women's Wrestling Talk, www.talkpod.com is the website. www.talkpod is the social space. All kinds of great things happening. And you can be sure there will be wonderful things happening this month celebrating Pride Month. So be on the lookout for that. Shout out to everybody in the chat, Dylan and Eric and Cousin Ron and Bosa and Special Little Nobodies and Eric, and I feel like I'm missing somebody. I know I'm AEW blog. I see you there. I'm missing someone else, and forgive me, but everybody was so active in the chat today. Lots of great discussions, and we love healthy discussions here on the show. So we'll be back together on Wednesday. No telling what will happen in the wrestling world, but we'll be here to talk about it. And I don't know if that creature will be as well. But rest assured, if Uncle Howdy doesn't take over, this will still be Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WWTalkPod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.